Good morning, everyone, and welcome to E-CL's third quarter 2013 results conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued yesterday, it is available on the company's website at www.e-cl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that the information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Lodewijk Vertigan. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lodewijk Vertigan. I'm the CEO of ECL. Welcome to our quarterly investor conference call to discuss ECL's results for the first 9 months of 2013. I'm accompanied by Carlos Freitas, our CFO, Bernardita Infante, Deputy CFO, and Marcela Minos, our Investor Relations Officer. I will now refer to the presentation that we distributed yesterday. I hope you have it in front of you. Otherwise, you may download it from the Investor section in our webpage, www.e-cl.cl. Now then, please go to slide 3 to review some of the relevant events during the last quarter. In the third quarter of this year, ECL reported a good generation performance as all its plants were generally available. This allowed the company to widen its operating margin with quarterly EBITDA recovering to $72.3 million. This represented an improvement compared to the first two quarters when plant outages and the maintenance of the LNG terminal led to higher fuel and energy purchase costs. However, as we will discuss during this call, despite the third quarter's EBITDA recovery, 9 month results are still behind those of the same period in 2012. In July, Standard & Poor's confirmed ECL's BBB rating with stable outlook, while in August, Fitch confirmed ECL's BBB rating with positive outlook. In July 2013, ECL inaugurated El Aguila 1, a 2-megawatt photovoltaic plant connected to the sink, which represented a total investment of approximately $7 million. ECL also received environmental approval to develop El Aguila 2, a photovoltaic plant with up to 40 megawatts. In September 2013, ECL signed a terminal use agreement, a TUA, which is related to the company Sociedad General Mejillones S.A., for LNG reception, storage, regasification, and delivery services. Contracted processing volumes are equivalent to 5 shipments in 2013, 6 in 2014, and 5 shipments per annum from 2015 through 2026. In September, Congress approved a draft law promoting non-conventional renewable energy. According to this bill, by 2025, generation companies will have to source with renewable energy at least 20% of the power supplied under power purchase agreement signed after July 2013. ECL filed with the Servicio de Evaluación Ambiental an environmental impact declaration for the Pampa Camarones solar project, which, if entirely developed, could reach total capacity of up to 300 megawatts and an investment of up to $620 million. Depending on demand, permits, and board approval, this project could be developed gradually in stages over the following years. Specifically, during 2014, we intend to install the first 6 megawatts of the Santa Camarones project. Now, please turn to slide 4 to go over the financial highlights for the three first quarters of 2013. Please remember that beginning 2013, we have been consolidating 100% of CTH as opposed to the partial consolidation applied through the end of 2012 in proportion to the ECL's 60% ownership share. To facilitate the comparison, we have adjusted all prior figures as if CTH has been 100% consolidated. Before looking at these numbers, just as we did during our last call, we will go over some of the general factors that explain these results. First, as you might probably know, the LNG supply agreement, whereby mining companies bought LNG from the Mejillones terminal and sold it to the electricity generation company for its conversion into electricity, was in effect in the first 9 months of 2012, but ended in September of last year. One of the main effects of the end of this contract is that today there is less gas available for generation in the Seine. The decrease is equivalent to approximately 100 megawatts compared to 2012. This means that whenever any relevant cost-efficient plant in the system is out of service, the system needs to cover the shortfall with more expensive diesel generation. This causes an increase in spot prices, but the more evident effect is an increase in the so-called generation overcosts in the system that must be paid by the generation company. Second, the mismatch existing in 2012 between the ML contract tariff, which is linked to Henry Hub, and the cost of fuel needed to meet that contract has come to an end. During 2013, ECL has been buying LNG at a Henry Hub-based price, which is the same index used for the ML PPA. The only remaining mismatch is much smaller and corresponds to the difference between the Henry Hub tariff applied to the contract and the Henry Hub tariff at the time gas shipments are made. The Henry Hub index is reflected in the ML PPA tariff with a certain lag, as it is calculated on the average price recorded in the 4 months prior to the tariff setting process, which takes place every 6 months. Recovery in the Henry Hub index in late 2012 and early 2013 has gradually begun to affect in the ML energy tariffs through this year. The average realized price in our sales to ML has not yet shown an increase, as it has been also affected by fluctuations in the exchange rate. The ML tariff is calculated in US dollars and converted into pesos at the average observed exchange rate of March and September of each year. These exchange rates remain unchanged during 6 months. Therefore, exchange rate fluctuations during these periods may cause an increase or a decrease in revenues when expressed in US dollars. The depreciation of the Chilean peso that we could observe in May and June of this year have the effect of reducing the revenues from this contract when expressed in US dollar terms. Third, through 2012, the tariff mix of our unregulated client portfolio changed gradually to better reflect the new generation mix, which now has greater weight of coal generation after efficient coal-fired plants began operations in mid-2011. This process ended in the last quarter of 2012, and no more tariff reviews are foreseen for the near term. Fourth, the Mejillones LNG terminal was closed between June the 1st and June 28th in 2013 for maintenance and work needed to connect the terminal's new onshore tank. This will allow for an increase in gas storage capacity and an improvement in the management of gas flows in the system. As a result of the terminal outage, there was virtually no gas generation in June, with a consequential increase in diesel generation, which caused an increase in the system's overall generation costs. Fifth, marginal costs or spot prices have shown ups and downs with a downward trend in general, reporting average levels of $76.3 per megawatt hour, down 14% from the spot price average in the same period of 2012. However, two things have to be highlighted. On the one hand, these prices correspond to monthly averages and not necessarily to the prices prevailing at the time at which ECL effectively makes its spot energy purchases. Normally, spot energy purchases at the time of outages of relevant cost-efficient plants are made at higher prices, since the shortfall in coal and gas generation must be met with more expensive oil generation. On the other hand, these marginal costs are calculated based on a theoretical economic dispatch of power plants. They do not include the system generation overcosts for reasons such as security, plants operating in test mode, or plants dispatched at their minimum technical level. These overcosts are ruled by the so-called RM39 and DS130 mechanisms. Just to give you an idea, the entire SING system reported overcosts of $36.7 million in the third quarter, down from $54.5 million in the second quarter. The record overcosts in the second quarter resulted from long outages of large coal-fired plants such as AES, Geniers, and Gamos plants, and the lack of gas generation explained by the maintenance of the LNG terminal. In the first quarter, overcosts were similar to the third quarter and amounted to $34.8 million. the total system overcost, which is effectively incurred by some generation companies, is then prorated among all generation companies, mainly in function of their contracted electricity demand. Each generation company must therefore receive or pay, as the case may be, the difference between its pro rata share of the overcost and the generation overcost actually incurred by it. In this way, generators effectively incurring operational overcosts are remunerated by other generations through this compensation system. The generation companies making compensatory payments are normally those with higher level of power sales contracts and can partially pass through these costs to prices depending on contractual conditions with clients. Now, let's look at the table in slide 4. Operating revenues increased 2% in the first 9 months of 2013 due to a combination of an increase in physical sales, lower average electricity tariffs, and an increase in gas sales. EBITDA decreased 11% to $191.2 million. Main reason for this was the increase in electricity supply costs. The CTA and CTA outage in January, the maintenance of our Unit 12 and CTM1 coal-fired plants in April and May, and the closure of the LNG terminal in June caused an increase in our diesel generation on the one hand and an increase in spot energy purchases on the other. Moreover, the outage of relevant coal-fired plants operated by our competitors also put an upward pressure on spot prices and the system's overcost in the second quarter. But as explained in the beginning of this call, our operating performance improved significantly in the third quarter, with EBITDA reaching $72 million. As we will discuss in more detail further on, net income decreased 48% to $22.6 million, mainly due to lower operating results and a $1.5 million foreign exchange loss, which compares negatively with the $11.5 million foreign exchange profit reported last year. Net debt reached $575 million at the end of September, only about $30 million higher than in September of last year, despite the disbursement of the last tranche of the CTA project financing, which amounted to almost $94 million. Now, please move to slide 6 for an industry update. Slide 6 shows the electricity industry in Chile with its two main interconnected power grids, the SIC and the SIN. As you know, the SIN, in which ECL operates, is predominantly a thermoelectric system with demand dominated by mining companies. In the last NOPE price publication dated April 2013, the National Energy Commission, or CNE, was forecasting a 6.7 annual growth rate for the next 10 years, up from 6.3% in the October 2012 publication. This is mainly based on an announced mining investment in the region covered by the SIN. We have excluded AES Gener's Thermo Andes plant from the SIN's installed capacity figures since this plant is no longer delivering energy to the SIN. So the SIN reports total capacity of 3,965 megawatts, slightly higher than in the last quarter due to the addition of solar plants. ECL accounted for 54% of the SIN's installed capacity. In terms of generation, coal accounted for 83%, gas to 9%, and diesel represented 7% of total generation. Slide 7 talks about the SIN's characteristics, such as no exposure to hydrologic risk and most sales made to large and creditworthy mining clients, according to long-term bilateral contracts. Sales to distribution companies represent about 12% of the system sales, and these are supplied by ECL. The picture at the bottom of slide 7 shows the history of the SIN in terms of generation and prices. The brown line illustrates the system marginal cost, or the spot price, which has continued to decrease after peaking in 2008. This has been possible thanks to the coal plants, which started operations in 2011, and installation of an LNG terminal in 2010. As explained earlier, these prices are based on a theoretical economic dispatch model and do not include the overcosts generally produced by the operation of diesel plants at the technical minimum, which has in effect occurred in the first 9 months of 2013, particularly in the second quarter. Natural gas generation in the Sing has decreased after the LNG supply agreements with four large mining companies expired. While in 2010, 2011, and part of 2012, the LNG supply by the mining companies reached the equivalent of almost 400 megawatts of electricity generation, in 2013 this number dropped to approximately 203 megawatts, corresponding to ECL's gas supply contracts. At present, no other generation company in the Sing has availability of gas. In slide 8, you can find a list with some of the mining projects that have been announced in the region covered by the Sing and which have not yet signed PPAs or other forms of power supply commitments. Although some of these projects are being postponed, electricity demand is expected to double in the following 10 years from the current 2,000 megawatts. This translates in growth opportunities for ECL. Our current ownership structure is shown in slide 9. GDS Suez, the leading global utility, remains as ECL's controlling shareholder. The second largest shareholding group is made up of the Chilean pension funds, which have steadily increased their participation in ECL, with a slight decrease observed in the third quarter. Pension funds held a combined 23.24% share of ECL as of the end of September. Foreign institutional investors hold 10.1%, while local institutional shareholders have increased their share to 13.37%. We will now go to slide 10. This slide shows that ECL is clearly the largest and most diversified generation company in the Sing, serving over 60% of the system's demand. In the last 5 years, its installed capacity has grown by 29% to 2,137 megawatts after the last 2 megawatt addition of solar capacity in July of this year. Please note that the 29-megawatt Mantos Blancos plant is the only one of the plants operated by ECL that does not belong to ECL. The operating agreement expired at the end of September, and beginning October 2013, it will be operated by another generation company. As shown in slide 11, coal accounts for 52% of ECL's installed capacity. Natural gas capacity follows with 32%, and ECL also owns gas pipelines, the Tocopilla port, and 2,287 kilometers of transmission lines. In December 2012, we sold the 174-kilometer-long Cristero Lagunas transmission line to Transele, given that this line was declared part of the trunk transmission network, requiring certain upgrade investments, and transmission is not considered to be ECL's core business. The sale resulted in non-recurring after-tax earnings of $20 million in the fourth quarter of 2012. Then, in slide number 12, we provide an overview of our current commercial status. Our policy is to engage in PPAs for up to the equivalent of our efficient installed capacity. For the fourth quarter of 2013, we will report the equivalent to approximately 1,157 megawatts of efficient capacity, which we consider contractable for purposes of this analysis. This number results from the sum of A, our hydro and renewables output, B, our coal-based cross-installed capacity, minus spinning reserves, self-consumption, and estimated forced arbitrages, and B, the availability of gas to run our combined cycle turbines expressed in equivalent generation terms. For the last quarter of 2013, the maximum estimated consumption under our PPAs is 1,164 megawatts, slightly lower than the demand of the first 3 quarters, given the end of the Mantos Blancos contract. The potential demand under our contract remains slightly above our net efficient capacity. However, ECL has available gas capacity as well as backup diesel capacity and also has portions of its contract portfolio with prices linked to diesel or marginal costs. In case of generation overcost, ECL has the ability to pass through approximately 60% of them to tariffs. For the following years, we can see a more comfortable situation, partly because of the expiration of small contracts, but more importantly because of an increase in the number of cloud shipments. The remaining average lifetime of our contract is 10 years, with no major PPAs maturities until 2017. Therefore, our recontracting risk is low. In terms of prices, we see that monomic tariffs to unregulated clients average $114 per megawatt hour, a moderate decrease from the $118 per megawatt hour in the first 9 months of 2012 due to the tariff reviews mentioned earlier. Prices to regulated clients also decreased from $101 per megawatt hour last year to $94 per megawatt hour, but this last figure should increase going forward due to the upward tariff adjustments. The first one, effective since March 2013, occurred because the applicable Henry Hub index used to calculate the ML tariff increase by more than 10%, triggering an automatic tariff review. Another tariff change took place in May, since tariffs are normally reviewed every 6 months in April and October. However, this has not yet been noticeable, given the evolution of the exchange rate during the second and third quarters of this year. The depreciation of the peso beginning late May caused a decrease in ML tariffs when expressed in dollar terms, since they continue to be converted to dollars at the March exchange rate of 472 pesos per dollar. Beginning November, a further tariff adjustment in dollars and a new higher exchange rate will become effective for the following 6 months. Now we go to slide 13. And the pie chart in this slide shows that coal costs account for more than 60% of the overall tariff indexation of our portfolio. Coal is followed by LNG indexation, the most relevant of which is the ML contract. The third most relevant indexation is CPI, which applies to the non-fuel portion of our costs. Then going to slide 14, this slide provides details of the ML PPA indexation and the lag with which Henry Hub fluctuations are reflected in the tariffs. The chart at the bottom of the slide shows two gas price curves expressed in US dollars per million BTU and referred to the left vertical axis. One, the orange line is the Henry Hub curve reflecting international prices, and the yellow line is the Henry Hub level applicable to the ML energy tariff. There are two dotted lines corresponding to prices expressed in US dollars per megawatt hour and refer to the right-hand vertical axis. The dark green, almost black line, is the energy tariff resulting from applying the PPA formula applicable at each point in time. It changes twice a year with the regular tariff review or at any time there is a Henry Hub fluctuation equal to or above 10%. The light green dotted line corresponds to the average realized monomic tariff. That is, we take monthly revenues divided by physical energy sales. This number differs from the other in that it not only includes energy tariff, but also the capacity payment, and it is affected by fluctuations in the exchange rate, as well as reliquidations of capacity payments. Now, going to slide 15. This slide illustrates our energy supply curve between January and September of this year. The horizontal axis represents generation provided by each of our power plants, starting in left to right order, by those plants with the lowest variable costs, as reported to the CDEC. So in the first place, we see hydro and solar generation with zero variable costs, followed by coal, which represents the bulk of our generation. Next comes natural gas generation, followed by spot purchases, and finally by diesel, which is our highest cost generation. During the period, our total electricity costs, including fuel and electricity purchases costs, averaged $63 per megawatt hour, while our realized tariff per megawatt sold reached $109, resulting in a gross electricity margin of $46 per megawatt hour. Slides 17 through 23 provide an overview of our project. As shown in slide 17, we continue participating in conversations and bidding processes with potential off-takers for the purpose of signing a PPA that could trigger the construction of our Infrastructura Energética Mejiones project. This project consists of up to two coal-fired plants, each with gross capacity of 375 megawatts, including a new port facility. In addition to the mining projects under study in the SIN, some of which are listed in slide 8, there is significant mining development in the Norte Chico region of the SIC, with mining companies concerned about securing their power supply at reasonable prices. If a transmission line connecting our power plants in Mejiones to the northern segment of the SIC is built, as shown in slide 18, we could be in a position to supply mining projects in the SIC region or to participate in bids to supply distribution companies in the SIC, thus expanding our universe of potential power off-takers. The execution of PPAs is the key item that will trigger the decision to build one or two of these units. At this point, we are still unable to provide an accurate estimation of timing for the execution of a PPA. We continue to work on the capital structure of the project and the selection of the key parties, such as the EPC contractor and potential financial providers. Now we go to slide 19, which talks about Electrica Mondredondo, the renewable energy company owned by GDS Suez that operates in the state. Electrica Mondredondo comprises a 48-megawatt wind farm in operation and a 34-megawatt Laca hydro plant still under construction, with estimated commercial operation date in the following months. Since GDS Suez has stated that ECL will be its investment vehicle for the electricity generation business in Chile, ECL intends to acquire EMR from GDS Suez. This acquisition would help ECL to establish a presence in the SIC and to increase its footprint in renewable energy. As a transaction between related companies, the acquisition will be subject to strict corporate transparency standards. The Comité de Directors, with majority of independent board members, will be in charge of analyzing the conditions and providing a recommendation for this potential acquisition. As explained in slide 20, in July, ECL inaugurated the photovoltaic solar project in association with the Kibolax Mining Company. This project is called El Águila 1, and it has 2 megawatts and has been injecting its power output to the same. The next step is a 40-megawatt project, El Águila 2, which has already received environmental approval and could represent capital expenditures in order of $80 million. We're also developing a 6-megawatt photovoltaic project called Pampa Camarones, which will be represent an investment of $60 million. We submitted the environmental study for approval in September. Now, as discussed in slide 21, stricter particulate matter and gas NOx and SOx emissions requirements were approved by the Chilean authorities in 2011. ECL is investing to comply with the new emission requirements well before the due date. The estimated capital expenditures will amount to approximately $170 million over the 2011 to 2015 period, of which nearly 80% has already been incurred. In April 2013, ECL completed the first stage of the program, which consists in the installation of 6 back filters at its coal-fired plants in Tocopilla and Misiones, hence reducing particulate matter emissions. Slide 22 shows some of ECL's interesting initiatives regarding innovation, social responsibility, and non-conventional energy developments. And then skipping to slide 23, this provides details of our capital expenditure program. This program does not consider any investments in major expansion projects. It does include the El Águila 1 and Pampa Camarones solar projects, as well as preliminary project studies and preparation works for all projects. Our capital expenditure program for 2013 considers investing almost $150 million, primarily in environmental improvement programs to reduce particulate matter and gas emissions. In the first 9 months of the year, capital expenditure reached already $101 million. Now we will move to the following section to discuss financial results. On slide 25, we can see that the physical electricity sales increased 2% due to the new contract with El Tesoro and increased demand from Minera Esperanza and El Abra, as well as due to the natural increase in sales to distribution companies. Almost 88% of the electricity sold came from the company's own generation, down from over 90% last year. This was due to a 2% decrease in our generation, mainly as a result of the CTA and CTH outputs in January and the lack of gas generation in June. Spot energy purchases increased by 169 gigawatt hours, affecting our profit margins. In the first quarter, leakages found in civil works of the water intake pipes led us to take CTA and CTH out of service for approximately 20 days. The pipes were repaired and the plants have been working normally since the last week of January. During this outage, we performed regular maintenance work in CTA to shorten the next maintenance outage scheduled for the last week of October. Also, during the time when the LNG terminal was closed, we performed the annual maintenance at our most efficient combined cycle plant, Unit 16 in Tocopilla. On the right bottom corner of the slide, we can see how both PPA tariffs and market prices have shown a decreasing trend in the SIN in the last 3 years as a reflection of the system's lower average generation costs after the startup of approximately 800 megawatts of new coal capacity in 2011. Please then turn to slide 26. Electricity sales decreased by 3% because of lower average prices. Nevertheless, we can observe a 2% increase in total revenues because of higher sales of gas. Electricity tariffs averaged $109 per megawatt hour, down from $115 per megawatt hour the year before, but they have stabilized at a new level with no further decreases expected in the near term. As discussed before, tariffs to distribution companies decreased due to the lag with which low Henry Hub levels observed in 2012 were reflected in the contract tariff and due to foreign currency translation effects. However, they should increase beginning November of this year. EBITDA decreased 11%, basically because plant enforced outages, not only of ECL's plants, but also of those of our competitors, and the outage of the LNG terminal in June. Of course, an increase in diesel generation, with a consequential increase in average generation costs in the system. This affected ECL in two ways, increased fuel cost per megawatt hour and an increase in energy purchase costs. This item increased in the first half of 2013 and returned to normal levels in the third quarter. It includes both the cost of spot energy purchases and ECL shares of the system generation over costs. We reported some non-recurring items in 2013 which affected the income statement in opposite directions. With a net positive effect of $6.4 million, on the one hand, we recognized $30 million in insurance compensations to cover for business interruption losses during the CTA outage in the fourth quarter of 2012. But on the other, we expensed a total of $6.6 million in costs incurred in the repair of the CTA and the CTH water pipes. Last year, we had recognized a $1.1 million insurance compensation for a past loss at Central Tamaya. Please now go to the following slide. Slide 27 shows the EBITDA evolution in a graphic way. The most significant variation in EBITDA comes from higher fuel and energy purchase costs, mainly as a result of plant outages, not only ours, but also those of the competition. Part of the higher cost was due to the CTA and CTH outage in January. According to our estimates, had the outage not occurred, our 2013 results would have been approximately $60 million higher. We have also had two positive effects. One is explained by new contracts and increased physical sales volume, and the other corresponds to the variation insurance compensations. This was partly offset by approximately $7 million in repair costs. The temporary outage of the LNG terminal had a direct estimated negative effect of approximately $5 million. Our EBITDA in the first 9 months of the year reached $191 million, down from $250 million in the same period of the year before. Then slide number 28 shows the evolution of net income. Again, we see that the net income deterioration is largely explained by the operating factors described in the previous slide. Depreciation increased by $4 million due to the overhaul of our combined cycle plant, any investments made to reduce particulate matter emissions. We also had a foreign exchange loss, while last year we had foreign exchange earnings. The impact of this foreign currency effect was a $9 million reduction in net income. Several other items contributed to explain the net income reduction to just $23 million, down from $44 million the year before, although it should be noted that last year's results were affected by the income tax rate change, which had a one-time $20 million impact on the 2012 results. Minority interest corresponds to the 40% owner of CTH. Slide 29 then shows the company's liquidity and leverage ratios. Consolidated cash balances were $198.2 million at the end of September. Debt ratios increased as they are measured on the basis of four-quarter EBITDA figures. EBITDA for the 12-month period ending September 30, 2013, reached $231 million. Therefore, gross debt to last 12-month EBITDA reached 3.3 times, while net debt to last 12-month EBITDA was 2.5 times. EBITDA to invest to interest over the last 12-month period reached 4.9 times. The next slide, number 30, gives details of ECL's debt. There have been no changes from the last quarter. ECL has no significant debt maturities until 2021. All debt is in dollars, and most debt is at fixed rate, with only 18% of outstanding debt exposed to variable interest rate risk. The following slide on page 31 shows the evolution of net debt in the first 9 months of 2013. We started with a net debt of $603 million. The main uses of cash were capital expenditure of $101 million, mainly related to environmental improvement projects and plant maintenance. We paid $22 million in income taxes and paid dividends of $56 million in May. Our debt balances also decreased for non-cash reasons. The negative mark-to-market valuations of our interest rate swaps decreased by $70 million due to the steepening of our future LIBOR curves. The main sources of cash during the first half were $162 million in cash from operations and almost $30 million in proceeds from the sale of the Cruzeiro Lagunas transmission line. As a result, our cash balances increased by $6 million, contributing to a decrease in our net debt to $574 million. Slide 32 describes our dividend policy. As you might know, given our strong cash position and lack of imminent investing projects, the board proposed the payment of 100% of 2012 net income as dividends. Therefore, in May 2013, we paid dividends in an amount of $56.2 million. And then finally, slide 33 shows that ECL keeps an investment grade status with all our ratings unchanged since our last conference call. At that time, we report an improvement in our local rating by Stellar Rate, which is Standard Poor's local associate. So, ladies and gentlemen, we come now at the end of our presentation. We thank you very much for your attention, and we are open to any questions you might have.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you poll your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your first question comes from the line of Ezequiel Fernandez.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations on the quarterly results and the presentation. It looks very comprehensive. I wanted to ask three questions. The first one is related to the coal gross generation into 2014. I don't know if you have a guidance for that in gigawatts or you think it's going to be higher than in 2013. We saw it pretty high in the last two quarters. Maybe you can give us a sense of that. The second question relates to Monterredondo and La Laja. I don't know if you have any idea when the La Laja works are going to be finished or estimated finish time. And the third question is related to if you're still active with talks with any of the miners regarding projects on page 8 and whether you feel that investment sentiment has improved or not since the last quarter. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much for your questions. So first of all, in relation to generation, the last quarter now, we have been nearly without any major maintenance in our units because we were able to do some of the maintenance as told in our presentation during the CTH outage and during the LNG terminal outage. So we foresee for 2014 that we will go back to a normal situation with all the major maintenances to be done on the coal plants, with maybe a slight difference that most of the investments in the emission abatement program have been done. And so the times to do the maintenance will be, in general, shorter than the ones of the last 2 years. And secondly, we also provide that there will be some more generation with LNG. Yeah. So all in all, I think that the total of gigawatt hours produced in the year 2014 are being projected as slightly higher as what we had in 2013. Of course, taking abstraction of any unplanned outages that that might come, but in general, we should be slightly higher. On the second question, for LACA, the commercial operation date is now foreseen for the first half of 2014, but I have no information on the exact date. But normally, by June 2014, LACA should be completely commissioned. And then the third question, we indeed continue with discussions with mining clients. I think in general, I would say that the investment sentiment has improved compared to the first half of this year. I think that in general the projections of the copper prices 4 or 5 years from now have improved as well, which means that some of the mining companies are taking up again the studies to do these investments. The only thing is that at this moment we are not in any position yet to sign any PPA because none of them has taken a final investment decision yet. Yeah. But I assume that that in the course of 2014 this will happen. For us, this is only a delay. It doesn't really affect the project, so we are virtually ready to start to give notice to proceed in the infrastructure, the Mekionik infrastructure project. So it only affects us in the timing. I hope with this I responded to your questions.
Yeah, yes, very clearly. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Ivan Rudnick.
Hello, I just have a question about the non-recurrence events that happened in the third quarter. I didn't understand which were and what did they cause the 1.7 million extra that you experienced in this quarter.
Hi, this is Vanderbilt and no, it was not that we had a specific non-recurrent event. It was we had a non-recurrent item accounted for in the first 9 months, and those correspond to the recognition of insurance compensation for the CPH outage that we had in the last quarter of last year. That amounted to 13 million. But on the other hand, we had some repair costs related to the outage of CPA and CPH in January of this year, and those amounted to $6.6 million. So the difference is $6.4 million of a positive effect in this year's CPA.
So these are not quarter, but just accounting effect of events that that happened before.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star then one on your telephone keypad. And this concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to ECL for any closing remarks.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your presence. We are happy to have reported a better quarter now of ECL, and in general, we expect this to continue in the next few quarters. So thank you very much for your attention, and we will come back with the next session at the end of January.
Thank you. This does conclude today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day. 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 This time.